Joe Tate, and I have a podcast that takes a look back at my sports broadcast career. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
Andy Bull Barch here, and it's my honor and privilege to be joined alongside the great Joe Tate. Joe, a pleasure to have you on as always, my friend. How are you?
Bull, I'm fine. It's good to be sharing a microphone with you.
Well, I think that feeling is most definitely mutual, my friend. And boy, we had some fun recording a few of these already. And, you know, what's interesting to me is having followed your career and listened to you for so many years, uncovering this archive of events that Tim was able to put into the system many, many moons ago, I uncovered a lot of events that I had no idea that you were a part of. And I stumbled across one about a week or two ago, and it was you announcing a 135-pound boxing match between David Coles and Willie Tucker. Now, I tried to punch those names into the internet machine, and I wasn't able to come away with a whole lot of luck here. So when exactly did this fight take place?
Friday nights, the Boys Club in Terre Haute, Indiana. I think it was tied in with the Golden Gloves, and I know Kent Atterbury's Job Corps Center, they brought kids over every Friday night to fight. So they were very popular. They drew a good crowd, and the boxers were in it like they were going for the gold. They really started throwing punches. In fact, I'm not sure you got one, a cut that one night we were working with my best friend, Nate Hirsch, who has unfortunately passed away, but I turned to Nate. I said, Nate, I don't want to tell you this, but your cheat sheet is covered with blood because somebody had been popped in the nose and had come off the ropes, and it just bled all over his sheet. I remember he was really leaking.
I'm very, very interested to hear more about this fight. Now, we're going to play a few cuts from this fight. We'll start here, which is where you actually introduced both boxers, and one of which received a huge ovation.
David Coles of Terre Haute, Indiana, at 135 pounds, undefeated in 8 straight fights against Willie Tucker of the Camp Atterbury Job Corps Center. He matches Coles pound for pound, 135 pounds apiece. So it's Coles against Tucker, with Sam Naismith and Troy Estridge ready to fight a nightcap of the activity here at the Boys Club tonight. Boy, I tell you, Dave Coles has got his section, to say the least. They're sitting off to our left, off to the left of the ring, south side of this gymnasium here at the Boys Club, and they gave Dave Coles a standing ovation when his name was announced by Fred Swart.
So what do you remember most about David Coles? Because as you mentioned in that clip, boy, he was wildly popular at the Boys Club.
Well, the Atterbury Job Corps Center always brought a busload of enthusiasts over to support their boxers. And so those kids enjoying a chance to get out and, you know, do something out of the ordinary made a lot of noise. But as far as Coles, and I don't remember either one of them, to tell you the truth. I just remember doing the fights, and I remember that Kent Atterbury had fighters every Friday night. They had a full lineup of fighters that, and a couple of them, a kid named Goings, actually turned pro, and I saw him fight on TV one night several years thereafter.
What's interesting about boxing is, you know, you go back 40, 50 years, it was gigantic back then. Now, it's totally different now, and there are folks who commonly say, who were around back in the 20s and in the 30s, they state that boxing was the hottest ticket in town. It was right up there with going to see Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and the Murderers Row teams in the 20s. Boxing was a gigantic event, and it certainly seems like in this particular instance, this Friday night fight at the Boys Club between David Coles and Willie Tucker certainly exemplifies that.
Yeah, this is the bottom of the food chain as far as boxing is concerned, and yet they had a good turnout, a very enthusiastic turnout, in addition to all the guys from the Job Corps Center. So it drew well. The Boys Club made money on it, and we broadcast several years of boxing over there.
Give me an idea as to how tough that was to call a boxing match, because it is just so different from a lot of the other things I'm sure that you had done, and you covered so many different events. But, you know, boxing requires so many different things at play, right? I mean, not only are you talking about two 135-pound fighters here, too, but there's rights, there's left, there's jabs, there's uppercuts. All of these come into play.
That's the way it was. And I would watch some bouts on TV to kind of familiarize myself with some of the terminology. And then, of course, back in those days, the Friday night fights with Gillette were always big draws on the radio. And I would listen to them, Don Dunphy, and, oh, yeah, that was, now you're putting me back in the dark ages. But I'll bet you there's some people listening in who remember the Friday night fights on Gillette where the top fighters duked it out.
And it's interesting at 135 pounds, too. Because I think we're all drawn to the heavyweight division. I mean, I think we were just kind of ingrained in that culture. You want to see the two biggest guys duke it out. But what, at 135 pounds, these guys move around really well.
Yep, and they did have heavyweights. I mean, they had all the different weight classes. When you went down there to broadcast the Friday night fight, you were there for the night because they had about eight or nine different weight classes, and they went through them all, and we broadcast them all because we sold them. And, you know, the old adage, if you can sell it, we'll do it. Well, we followed that credo in Terre Haute, too.
We're going to come back to that here in just a moment. We have another clip to play for you. Here's Joe Tate's play-by-play. This was in the second round of this particular bout.
Tucker now is on the advantage, puts Toles up against the rope, shoots the left, and Toles counters with the right. That hurt. Toles really stung him with the right. Tucker back on his heels. Toles moving in. Left, right, up against the rope. Toles trying to put him away. Couldn't do it. Tucker got away back out in the middle. But Toles really had him hurt. 1 minute to go in round two.
And what's interesting about this fight is that Willie Tucker puts up a pretty darn good one, but really at the beginning of it, it seemed like he was no match for David Coles, who you mentioned at the very beginning of this thing. He had won eight straight bouts, and, you know, it's just crazy to me to think about that because you could sense the energy at the Boys Club, and they were really into this fight.
Absolutely. Friday night fights at the Boys Club, that was a place to be, and it drew well. And the fighters responded because of the support they got from the folks who came to watch the fights.
All right, we are going to step aside and take a quick timeout.
Hi, I'm Joe Tate, here to tell you about Hometown Dental in Seville. They're my dentist, and they want to be your dentist for life. Hometown Dental offers same-day and evening hours to fit your schedule. And in emergencies like a broken tooth, they can always fit you in. All PPO insurance is accepted, and new patients are welcome. Call Hometown Dental on Center Street in Seville, or online, visit hometowndentalseville.com. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
Joe Tate joining Andy Bulbarch here in studio. We're going over a boxing match at the Boys Club in Terre Haute, Indiana, a 135-pound bout between David Coles and Willie Tucker, digging this one out of the archives. And, what Joe, I'll tell you, it's fascinating to go back and listen to the play-by-play of these boxing matches. And, you know, boxing has certainly changed in many, many ways. You know, now I think when you watch a boxing match, you know, we're expecting to see a knockout. You don't get as many of those anymore. You see a lot of jabbing going on, and you don't see as much action. You feel like that's one of the reasons why boxing has kind of lost its popularity a bit over the years?
I think that could be a possibility. I really haven't given it much thought. You know, boxing and I really parted company after the Friday night fights in Terre Haute, and I haven't watched much of it, so I really can't say that I'm a supporter or a aficionado or even a student of the game. But what you say seems to make sense to me.
And I think, too, you know, you have a lot of young kids, I think, maybe back in the 40s and 50s, because boxing was as big as it was. That was the thing to do. If you were a terrific athlete, I mean, I think it was certainly ingrained that you should become a fighter. Well, now you've got all these different options. You know, football has certainly blossomed in popularity, but even football's under attack as well. You've got so many other options, baseball, basketball, lacrosse, and a lot of all these other sports that have kind of come to the forefront now. There's so many other options, and I would like to think that's got something to do with it.
Well, basketball is right at the top of the page in terms of kids looking as a quick trip to big-time money and fame and fortune. You know, you got high school kids that are now leaving the country to go play overseas in Europe so they can show their wares and come back and play in the NBA. And that's the whole thing now, is let's get to the NBA as quickly as possible. It's one of the problems in baseball. A lot of guys don't want to spend time in the minors honing their skills. If you can't get there instantly, they're really not interested.
Instant gratification, right?
Absolutely.
That's the world that we live in. We're going to play another cut here from this boxing matchup, a 135-pound bout. David Coles and Willie Tucker digging into the Joe Tate archives here. Here's some more play-by-play from that matchup.
Throws another left, counters with a right. Both glancing blows, the left and the right. This time hitting right off the jaw. Tucker's hurt. Tucker really felt that right to the jaw. Coles advancing on him now. Coles moving in. He knows that he's on the advantage now, and all he has to do is keep pressing that advantage. There's a left and a right that hurts. A left and a right. Back in the corner, Tucker shoots a right that got Coles in the tummy, and he's shaking it off. Tucker got in a good shot there in the corner. They're back out of the center of the ring.
Okay.
There's a term you don't hear too often, Bull. Tummy. Got it right in the tummy.
That's the first thing that stood out to me when I was digging through some of the highlights of this matchup. Got him right in the tummy. But, you know, clearly it was a big moment in the matchup because, again, David Coles is the favorite of this matchup, but he's really going at it with Willie Tucker. Willie Tucker's backed into a corner, and then, bam, the old school shot to the tummy, as you described it. A good old right to the breadbasket, and that was enough to fend him off.
You are right.
That's good stuff. Now, I'm fascinated to see, you know, what's going through your mind as you're calling this bout. Only because boxing is just such a different animal. Because I think today we don't think as much about boxing play-by-play. But again, back then, it was very, very big. But, you know, you're sitting ringside to call these games, correct?
Absolutely.
Is it tough to see all that action when you're sitting ringside?
It is, because you're sitting ringside, but you're sitting down, you know, your eyes are about the level of the floor that they're fighting on. So you're looking up, and it's a perspective you really have to kind of get used to.
Now, I've often heard from those that call high school and college amateur wrestling matchups, and I think that's the right way of phrasing that, but, you know, they always say that when you're doing the play-by-play for those, it can be awfully difficult because there's phrasing and terminology that you really have to familiarize yourself with. But when it comes to calling a boxing matchup, I would imagine it's more of the same. But you kind of rely a little more on the color analyst who knows a lot about boxing and the ins and outs of it. And it seems like you mentioned Nate Hirsch was right. The guy that you worked with. And it seemed like you guys leaned on each other pretty well.
Yeah, well, Nate Hirsch was my best friend, and was up until his passing. He eventually ended up down in Georgia, at Statesboro, Georgia. He was the voice of the Georgia Southern Eagles for something like 35 years. And, the friendship, I think, came through, in addition to the fact that we had two guys who were in the, you know, same part of the arena as far as calling the fight.
Now, did you kindly, you know, reach over and wipe the blood off of his score sheet? Was that one of your jobs as his friend?
No, he took care of his own bloody sheet.
Well, and at the same time, you know, you guys are kind of in harm's way down there because, if those arms are flailing and somebody gets knocked over right on top of you, you guys are right there in harm's way. Can you remember an instance where that happened?
One time I can remember. A kid trying to get out of the way was backpedaling. He hit the ring ropes and just flipped himself backwards right in between us. He ended up sitting in a chair right between Nate and me. And but to his credit, he jumped right up, climbed up on the table, and went right back into the ring.
More importantly, did it kick you guys off the air, or did you guys find a way to stay on the air?
We must have stayed on the air. I don't remember losing contact with the station on that one, but it was a great moment in sports.
Yeah, it sure sounds that way. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of nerves involved here as well because you're sitting there calling the matchup, and this poor kid comes tumbling out of the ring, and he goes right down into the chair next to you guys. That had to be wild. I mean, I have nothing to relate that to. I mean, I've had foul balls come at me while I've been on the air, and I can't repeat what's going through my mind as the ball's coming back to me, but this is a totally different animal. You've got a human being coming back down into your area.
Yep. Well, that's true. And basketball on occasion, we've had basketball. I remember one night Elmore Smith for the Cavaliers got knocked backwards and came over the table where I was sitting. Dwayne Kuiper, the Indian second baseman, was sitting with me that night, and Smith fell right on top of Kuiper. And when I looked down, all I could see was one arm and one leg of Kuiper, and of course everything else was big old Elmore Smith. And I was thinking to myself, Gabe Paul is going to kill me if we unpile and discover that Kuiper's broken an arm or a leg. But we got Elmore Smith off Kuiper, and he got up, shook himself, sat right back down in the chair, and went on like nothing happened.
There may not be enough time here to dive into this, but I want to throw this question your direction while we're on this topic. You know, the NBA, for years and years, they have certainly offered a certain degree of exclusivity with the fans because they are legitimately right on top of the action, and that's caused its own set of problems. And I know this commonly gets brought to the table, but, you know, certainly while you want fans to be close to the action, to feel like they're a part of it, you get the impression that in today's NBA they're a little bit too close.
You know what? I haven't been around this NBA since 2011 when I retired, so I can't tell you what's going on today. But I can see where you're coming from because, yeah, there were times, and in some cities, not so much Cleveland, but in some cities where the folks really wanted to get involved with what's going on the floor. And then you've got a guy like... the fellow who makes the movies, I can't even think of his name now, who's a big New York Knicks fan.
Spike Lee.
And, you know, and Spike Lee gets going, and then his buddies around him get going, and then other people think, well, it looks like fun to me, and all of a sudden you got other people starting to lean forward to get out on the floor. So, yeah, it can spread.
Yes, and it most definitely has spread. You mentioned you haven't really watched much of today's NBA since 2011 when you retired. Oh, trust me, it has spread like a wildfire,
okay,
my friend. Yeah, no question about that. It's the Over the Timeline podcast brought to you by Life Care Centers of Westlake, Elyria, and Medina. The great Joe Tate joining me, Andy Bulbarch, and we are rehashing Joe's 135-pound boxing matchup that he called many moons ago between David Coles and Willie Tucker at the Boys Club of Terre Haute, Indiana. And we've got one last play-by-play clip from this fight. This was the end of the matchup as well. And we'll get into this here in just a minute, but you alluded to this earlier, Joe. You mentioned that commonly for these Friday night fights, well, you were calling one of many, many matchups during these Friday night fights. So here's the end of the matchup.
There's a left-right combo that misses Toll. Toll bounces off the rope, comes back again, hits Tucker on a left coming off the rope, the left and a right. Tucker misses a roundhouse right, and Toll backs away as the bell sounds to end the fight. And Toll looks every bit as fresh at the end of round three as he did when he stepped out there. The two boys now touching gloves out at the center of the ring, and Fred Schwartz. David Toll's the winner. Deservedly so. A game fight put forth by Willie Tucker, but he was no match for David Toles, and Toles is now 9-0.
So 9-0 for David Coles, and you mentioned that you certainly remember this matchup. Do you remember exactly when this took place? Any idea like what kind of time frame we're talking about?
That would have been 1960, Terre Haute, Indiana, 1960. 69 probably, just before I got the call from Bill Fitch to go to Cleveland.
Very good stuff. Now, you mentioned these Friday night fights. These were busy nights. These were popular nights. Typically, this is one of how many matches on a card?
Usually anywhere from 8 to 10. Depends on how many fighters the Camp Atterbury Job Corps Center brought over.
Makes perfect sense. And it sounds like this was a lot of fun to call. I mean, boxing, again, it's one of those things that on the radio anymore, you don't really hear about it. But I would imagine that boxing back in the late 60s, it was pretty popular on radio.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, when I was a kid growing up, the Friday night fights on Gillette, I mentioned them before, there were some great play-by-play guys who called those fights, and I remember their work brilliantly. They're tremendous.
Very good stuff. Well, Joe, that's going to put a wrap on this one. This was a lot of fun. You know, I know you had done many, many things in your play-by-play career. I never knew that you did boxing, but it sounds like you and Nate Hirsch had a lot of fun at this 135-pound boxing bout between David Coles and Willie Tucker.
And on top of that, you go down to my days at Ohio University when we did lacrosse, swimming, and wrestling on the radio.
Wow. We need to dig back into the archives and find those, because those will certainly pop up again on a future edition of Over the Timeline. Joe, as always, my friend, appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing this again soon.
Thanks, Bull. Good talking to you.
This Joe Tate podcast, Over the Timeline, is brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.